Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
He's just showing off now. I mean, what started off when Two Cuts was getting into it with the La Cosa Nostra and can't wait to say that. Now you're just showing off.
What am I showing off?
The Japanese pronunciations of these names. These aren't easy names.
Who's the first one?
Munetaka Murakami.
Oh, I thought it was Drew Murakami.
Did I?
Earlier in the show, I called Bo Nix Drew Nix. I'm going to call everybody Drew. Yeah.
It doesn't get much easier than Bo Nix. I have to say that.
And I screwed that up. This kid comes in here. I mean, just blasted.
Okay, Munetaka Murakami.
You screwed up the easiest name in football. It's five letters.
Murakami, anybody that's played MLB The Show has heard that name over and over. So that's, I'm cheating a little bit with that one. But
yeah, but you rattled off like three or four names in a row there that were all very impressive.
Well, in full transparency, I screwed up Darvish. I didn't get the H sound at the end of that one. If people, odyssey.com/rewind.
Report to the corner office. Yeah.
But, I mean, these are all names we've heard. Seiya Suzuki, Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, that's true. Now, the Murakami we hadn't heard, Drew Murakami.
I won't correct you this time.
Thank you, Two Cuts.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Carson Anderson, 97, won a ticket. All right, Gator, look, I...
56 home runs in 2022.
I've always wondered, and we'll have some baseball stuff before the day is done. I've always wondered, I talked about how sometimes when everybody zigs, I like to zag.
Yeah.
And I think that you can find examples of teams that did. When you fail, everybody says you tried to be the smartest guy in the room. But when you succeed, you end up with Kurt Cignetti as your head coach. There was a minute there that Luke Fickell looked like he was going to Michigan State.
Yeah, more than a minute. Yeah.
And I thought he was going to get fired. And apparently Chris McIntosh, the AD, has recommitted to him. By Wisconsin. And if Michigan State does decide to move on from Jonathan Smith, I was really interested in whether or not, okay, wash away what happened at Wisconsin. Do you still want Fickell?
No.
Okay.
100% no.
All right. Because this would be a zag move. Like, we don't care what happened there. We liked them a lot a few years ago. Put them in a different situation. Hopefully he's learned from his mistakes.
Luke Fickell is 0 for 2 with his big college opportunities at Ohio State. Everything's handed to you at Ohio State.
Well, I was an interim.
I get it. But, I mean, you take the helm at Ohio State, all right, and turn that into a 6-6 program for that year that he was there. Mm-hmm. And then they switch over to the Herbs and they go undefeated.
So where did he excel? He excelled with a program as a bit of an underdog, and that could be Michigan State right now. It's a moot point because he's staying.
Well, no, I'm saying he's just better destined to be at a school that's at a smaller school and not a Big Ten school. So whatever. But he's going to be at Wisconsin.
They gave it's a moot point. But I was getting ready. Like, this was like, okay, when he gets let go, we'll talk about this and whether or not Michigan State fans will want to revisit it, because sometimes it doesn't work out at your first stop and you give a guy a chance and you get Bill Belichick or you get Pete Carroll, or guys who failed in one place and then were successful at another.
Yeah, you can let it play out. And I think that had Cleveland let it play out a little bit with Belichick, that maybe they'd be in a better place, but they didn't let it play out.
Well, Wisconsin, I guess, is letting it play out.
Yeah, but this is... I mean, you and I both talk a lot about Luke Fickell, Wisconsin, and how ugly it looks. They're the worst team in the Big Ten. The worst team. 18th in the Big Ten in rushing the football. That's Wisconsin.
That's incredibly difficult. And I'm not stunned that the AD stuck with him, because this is the AD that hired him.
Yeah.
And that AD decided he didn't want Paul Chryst and moved on from Paul Chryst. And Paul Chryst kept producing winners. And no, they weren't playing for a national championship. Think of all the Wisconsin teams, though, over the past 20 years that would be playoff teams under this format. Right? And they wanted more than what Paul Chryst was giving them. And Paul Chryst, if he just kept doing Paul Chryst things, he very well could have had that team in a playoff. But alas, it did not happen. And yeah, they look rudderless. Like, got away from their identity and tried to do something different. And now I guess they're trying to get back to the identity and they can't run the ball.
Well, are they doing, I guess, what you're telling Michigan State to do, which is instead of spending the money on a buyout, spend the money that you would spend on a buyout and spend it on players.
I'm not telling anybody to do anything, especially at Michigan State.
It was a suggestion.
Yes. An option. I think stability in this day, this year, if you're a program that can have stability, you can clean up. So many programs have fired their coaches, which doesn't mean all of their roster is free agents. And it doesn't mean all of their commits are free agents. But I got to tell you, if your coach got fired and your team is, you know, a zombie at the end of this year, those kids are looking around. And those programs know what the programs with stability know what kids are looking around. And they can go shopping off your roster. And, you know, it's just something to keep in mind if you're, think if you are in favor of whatever program you like, and I know in this town we have one fan base that really wants to make a change at the top and another fan base where I think there's a small amount of people, but they think, oh, I don't know if it's going to happen with this guy. Stability is a good thing to have in this offseason.
It is, and I agree with that. But for Michigan State, in order to have that work for them, they got to show something the last three games of the season. Otherwise, the guys that are already there, that are still there right now, may not want to be there to stick with this coach.
It doesn't mean you keep a coach, okay? If you,
you've got to show something last
Of course,
weeks.
And stability can be a variety of ways. Like, one of the questions I have as far as what's going on in Michigan State is people are all fired up about Rossi being down on the field. Would that even be considered a possible solution?
What?
As if you were to make him an interim coach to see what he would do, just to see what he would do.
I wouldn't.
Okay. Yep. I mean, I'm I've stated before, I hate that a coach has a year in change and suddenly people want to pull the plug.
Yeah,
I don't like this world, but
I'm of the mind that you hang on to Jonathan Smith for the last three games, see what happens in these last three games, and is he worthy of hanging on to? And you'll know, because you'll know if players want to get out or not. And if players want to get out, then you're going to have to react, because whether he stays or he goes, if the player's going to go, they're going to go. So I'll see how this team plays in the next 3 weeks. If they play with heart, determination, if they can win two or maybe three of these games, it'd be great. It's not easy to do. Playing against Penn State is not going to be easy. Playing at Iowa is not going to be easy. I don't think much of Maryland. I think it's a similar program to Michigan State. But they're going to have to win that game too. But that'd be the last game of the season. And if you lose the first two of those three, then how many guys are even going to want to play in that last game? There's a lot to be determined. But no one says you have to make any moves right now.
All right, it's Carson Anderson, 248-539-9797. We are interested in what you think this Lions game Sunday. Who is it about? What is it about? What do you need to see? How will you feel better come Monday? What will be reassuring? Hey, I think if they get this, get that, is there a player? Is there a position group? Is there a coach? Who do you think this game's about? Both Gator and Kang said they think it's about Hank Fraley, the O-line coach. I think it's about John Morton, the offensive coordinator. And to be clear, it's not like we're saying, hey, they can't get it done. I think it's important that they have a good day at the office, though. It's a good way to put it. Who needs a good day at the office for the Lions? 248-539-9797. NBA Cup starts tonight. We'll talk about that today at 2:01.
Woo! Yeah!
Well, at 2:01, we'll get to it. Also,
come on!
Got to get to the latest on Scooble. People they're not going to stop talking about it, and they're talking. Hear what is being said today at 11:20 It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Breaking news regarding the Detroit Red Wings. According to the Red Wings Twitter account, Patrick Kane, good to go tonight.
Kaner.
Yep. So, Patrick Kane is back.
That's good.
Yep.
It makes my favorite part of the Red Wings team right now even better. That's the power play. Mm-hmm. He is so good on the power play. He just can pass it anywhere. The guy is his that skill has not eroded at all. He is a world class passer of the puck, my friend.
I just want to see playoff hockey so bad. Yeah. It's funny because this happens in every sport where you get left out. You're not invited to the dance for a decade, and then you get back in and it's all new again. And I remember dealing with that with the Tigers. The last couple of years. I remember dealing with that with the Tigers back in 2006, right? And I was like, oh my God, postseason baseball. And then we got to do it last year and this year, and you start to get accustomed to it. And just the thrill of being in the dance. Because remember what we used to celebrate? We haven't had this with any of our teams. We used to celebrate a term we made up, being on the graphic.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a big deal. Like if you're watching SportsCenter and up on the TV, they put the graphic up, teams in the hunt, and we'd see our logo. Did you guys see it? Lions are on the graphic in the hunt for a postseason spot. They're on the graphic. That was a big deal. But then you get back into the dance and you're like, you forget like how great it is. Playoff hockey. I mean, I'm sure many of you, I haven't forgotten. Yeah. But it'll be new. It'll be fresh again. Come on. Get through the munch of Marth. Did I just dedicate 3 minutes of the show?
Just so you could say munch of Marth?
Yep. One of Gator's great screw-ups.
It's okay.
You call it a screw-up. I don't. Gator, great job. And by the way, it's definitely Kaner over Kaney. You don't like
or Kanesy. Yeah, no, it's right? Kaner. They call him Kaner.
Hockey,
yeah.
You got to go one or the other, and it's pretty obvious a lot of times which one you should pick.
Yes, yes.
I love the way those nicknames work. I love that Kaner.
They're like the most basic nicknames you could ever come up with. They just throw an S and a Y at the end of it, typically, or you know, with Kane, it makes sense. Go Kaner.
What's funny is in your case, you already have a nickname, but right. they would even work with that. You'd be Gates.
Yeah,
you're be right. Gatesy.
Gatesy.
It wouldn't be Gator. Yeah. No. His name isn't Gator. No, your given name. It doesn't say in your birth certificate, Gator. You have a nickname. It's Gator. But in a hockey locker room, Gatesy.
Yeah. Karsh, are you Karshy?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
No, I think Douglas still has to play.
Doug's at the worst hockey nickname.
Why don't you get the puck to Douglas there?
Yeah, give it to Douglas. We wouldn't find it, but Douglas really screwed up in the back end. And
Douglas with the dangle?
All right, slow
Douglas
down.
Dangles. That should be a segment every week. Douglas Dangles.
These would be my hockey takes. Douglas Dangles.
Douglas Dangles.
Doug's hot hockey takes.
I'd probably be more college. No, I do college hockey takes. Yeah. Duggles Dangles will be
Big
college
10
hockey team.
Duggles Dangles.
Duggles Dangles
are college hockey. Hockey.
Yeah, sure.
But you would
in,
be.
In Yost tonight, the Badgers.
You would be Dougie, though, because that's what they do in
yeah,
hockey.
Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah.
Dougie yep. Hamilton is.
And that Penn State Hamilton. Michigan State series this weekend.
Oh.
College hockey, man.
College puck. Love me some college puck.
That'll be fun.
The ghost of Big B is yelling at us right now.
Yeah.
All right. So, baseball. This is Steve Phillips, former GM on MLB Network, talking in the last 24 hours about Tarek Skubal. Here's what he said. Okay. I don't know how you don't trade him. This is John Morosi with a prediction today. Was it today? Today yesterday. Or yesterday? It was yesterday on MLB Network. Here's what he had to say.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, am I the only one that was digging that beat underneath? Had a little Eric B. and Rakim feel to it. So I got to tell you, Durant feels like a great starting point. This is an outfielder with speed, with power.
Yeah, he...
OPS guy.
He stole, in the last 3 years, 24, 34, and 24 bases. The last 3 years, 34, 48, and 41 doubles, albeit it's Boston. You're going to get a lot of doubles there. But his OPS, 828, 834, 774 this past year. His batting average dipped significantly this past year, but still 774 OPS. I think that would be a nice starting point to go with because it's a guy who plays. In the last 2 years, he's played 160, 157 games. I do want to say this, but just real quick.
Yeah.
Kang, when you go back and listen to John Morosi, he sounds like Chael Sonnen.
You want me to play it again?
Yeah, because he sounds like Chael Sonnen.
All right, I've heard enough. Yeah, it's Chael Sonnen.
Is it?
Yeah. Just trust us, Doug.
Yeah, you, former okay. UFC fighter. Who is?
And that sounds like Eric B. and Rakim's beat underneath it. Just trust me. Trust me.
Trust us. We got it all. Yeah. We got it all covered. But no, Jarren Duran would be a great starting point to get a deal done and then throw in a couple of those pitching prospects they have and maybe, Mayer? Just maybe.
Well, can you get Marcelo Mayer?
You can ask. They probably wouldn't do all that unless they knew that they could. See, that's the whole thing with this. The thing that makes it most difficult to trade Tarek Skubal with a team is to find a team that's willing to take the chance because they think that for sure they're going to sign him no matter what to a long-term contract.
Yeah.
And that's not easy to do when his agent is who his agent is. And that's why I fear this because then you got to get the agent involved.
I would say 0.0 of us want to trade Tarek Skubal. That's probably not true. Very small percentage want to be here, but this is where we are and this is what it is.
Yeah, look, there are definitely people out there. We had the one guy yesterday called in, and he's just done trashed. With him because
trashed him.
yeah, I mean, you can't pitch that past the sixth inning, or it doesn't have the heart and all this, which I think is some of it's valid and some of it is not. I think the heart thing, I would not question Derek Skubal's heart at all. I think there's a methodology of that the managers use in baseball that relies on a lot on analytics and why they don't let pitchers throw past a certain point. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, so, I mean, what I like about this is it's we've heard the big boys involved here. We've heard the Mets. We've heard the Red Sox. We really don't have a Yankee tie yet, do we?
No.
Okay. But if you're the Yankees and you hear the Red Sox are calling or the Mets are calling, you don't want to get upstaged in your own town by the Mets, and you don't want to get upstaged in your own division by the Red Sox.
Yeah, but see, I feel like the Yankees don't have to make trades. The Yankees just go out and sign guys.
So, no, yeah, but they can't sign a guy like Derek Skubal.
No, but they can go out and sign a guy like Dylan Cease or Framber Valdez. Those are free agents, big-time free agents.
Framber Valdez? I can hit Framber Valdez.
Right.
It's a joke, sorry.
But both of those pitchers are...
Jimmy Key.
Are on pace to perhaps get $30 million a year contracts for 5, 6, or 7 year deals.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that if you want the best pitcher in the game. You got to trade for him, and I'm wondering would Duran and Marcelo Mayer get it done, and would they do that? Would you do it?
Well, I'd hesitate, and I'll tell you why, because I need pitching.
Yeah.
I'm giving up the best pitcher in baseball. I got to get pitching in return because the organization doesn't have pitching.
Okay.
So I need to get those two prospects that we talked about yesterday who are both left-handed, both had a little taste of major league action, but their minor league careers look very good. They're high strikeout guys.
Let me go ahead and make that trade and then supplement it with the free agent signings that Sports Illustrated predicts will come to Detroit. And you tell me what you think of this team. We'll get to that today at 11:31. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Off-season plan, Detroit Tigers, full effect. Let's roll. Send Skubal to Boston for Jaron Duran, the outfielder, and Marcelo Mayer, former top prospect in baseball. Boston gets him, signs him to a long-term contract. Then go out and do what Sports Illustrated predicts the Tigers will do. Sign Bo Bichette, starting pitcher Zach Gallen, and bullpen arm Ryan Helsley. Unfortunately, Sports Illustrated projects that Kyle Finnegan ends up with the White Sox. But Scott Anderson, add Mayer, Duran, Bichette to the lineup, Gallen to come in and be a starting pitcher. Let's roll.
Might have some position redundancy there. But let's say you take Marcelo Mayer out of the equation. Mm-hmm. And you fill that in with some arms instead.
Yeah.
And listen, spending money. I don't mind spending money.
So that's the thing. And I thought they were going to spend money this past off season. And I don't think not spending the money in the past means they won't in the future. But I'm in a little bit of a believe it when I see it. They did make a very, very lucrative offer to Alex Bregman. So
they did.
So they could turn around and take the Bregman money and dedicated somewhere else, and maybe we shouldn't not expect that. But
or they could take the Bregman money and give it to Bregman.
They could
go right back, offering him the same contract they did last year, which I think Scott Boras now would take. Remember, the whole thing with Bregman was the reports were that he wanted $30 million a year, or at least that Boras wanted him to get 30 a year. The Tigers offered him just shy of the $30 million. If the Tigers gave him the same offer today, which would be just shy. But you couple that with the money that he made last year, which was $40 million for the 1 year, it would end up being north of $30 million a year when all is said and done. I think if you offered him the same deal, you might get it done. I don't know if other teams would up that or
By the way, I'll have my same concerns about that deal, that it's too long and there'll be too many dead years on it.
But I would tend to agree with you, but that's the cost of doing business with free agents, is that you tend to give them...
Especially Boris free agents.
Right. You tend to give them a couple years longer than what you really want to. Yeah, free agent-wise, there's a lot of players that interest me in free agency, pitchers-wise. You know, like Ranger Suarez... I like the idea of going after Dylan Cease. I just think that there's players in Framber Valdez. Those are three guys that, like, they're not all going to sign with the same team, right? Dodgers look like they're pretty set with pitching. I don't know how crazy the Dodgers are going to go get. But Yankees, this is where the Yankees step up. They can sign free agents. The Tigers can be a big player in free agency if they want to be for a starting pitcher, particularly if they trade Tarek Skubal, then they kind of have to be. And that would really give them the impetus to say, okay, fair enough. We're going to go 6 years on a Valdez contract, and let's get it done. You know, he pitched for A.J. Hinch before. There's familiarity there, and he's really good. So, okay, fair enough. The position players, I don't know if they're going to get aggressive free agent-wise with position players. This is the great – this is what's kind of fun with this offseason, is that they do have this – amazing chip to use in trade that is Tarek Skubal. How are they going to use it? And are they going to use it? And the winter meetings are next week, I think it's the 10th through the 13th.
Well, it's a huge test for Scott Harris. This is a massive test for Scott Harris. You know, he's done some good things since he's gotten here, but a good number of their young players that have blossomed were Avila picks. And you know, he still has some stuff to prove. I'm not a Harris bot.
No, you're not.
But I'd like to see, you know, he's got one of these massive cards to play and maybe being forced to play this card. But what do you do with it? What do you do with it? How do you turn Grant Hill into Ben Wallace and Chucky Atkins, who then they spun that whole thing into an NBA championship? How do you come out on the far side of this better as an organization long term? And you know, you have to know what you're doing, and you have to know who to identify. What I mean by that is you have to know who from somebody else's organization are you going to be ecstatic to have for the next decade, even if it's not in 2026. But you need people to help you in 2026 too, because this team is worth fighting for. These guys are worth fighting for, Scott.
They're worth fighting for. Yeah, and I think it starts with it's first of all, your rebuild, or not, it's not a rebuild. You're adding to this to this team starts with your own guys. It starts with hoping and expecting Kevin McGonigal to hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did just fine the bump to Double A. Is this a guy that's going to just totally bypass Triple A? He might. Maybe he pulls a Finney or pulls a Sandin Pelica and totally skips that last part that you expect him to. Well, I wasn't expecting Sandin Pelica to make the roster.
No. Just the term pulls a Finney.
He pulls a Finney. Is he going to pull a Finney? And he's making the
not
most of his
public.
You get arrested for that. He's making the most of his opportunity in the Arizona Fall League, and so is Max Anderson. And look, the Tigers had a couple guys that last year that crushed it in that league, and they got their promotions to Double A this year, and with varying results of success in Briseño and the other catcher they have. So it's
Lorenzo.
Thank you, Tyron Lorenzo. So I'd like what we could have with McGonigal, and then how far behind is Max Clark? It doesn't sound like he's too far behind, but I can't imagine both guys skip Triple A. But it starts knowing that those guys are pretty high hit rate, that you expect them that you're going to hit on those prospects. And then you're adding with free agency for sure, but this trade is a massive opportunity to really get it right and set this team up with a young core for years to come. Because it's already a young core, but you're expanding that core and actually – expanding that window of opportunity too.
And the big fear is that Avila cashed in a bunch of chips and got almost nothing.
Yes, of course. He basically
got Jake Rogers. They purged a whole bunch of talent and they got Jake Rogers.
Which is why you would say that you can't wait until the trade deadline to make the trade of Skubal.
Do it now.
Or, you know, do you dare just lose him for nothing at the end of the year? And I mean, part of me says, I want to, like everybody else, I want to see a World Series. And I feel like the Tigers' best chance to win a World Series is to have Tarik Skubal in the rotation. But if you've got a plan, if they're willing to spend money to acquire a starting pitcher that's not Skubal, but pretty close, like a Dylan Cease or a Framber Valdez, and you can trade Skubal and get a couple of young arms that have, you know, really high upside, then okay, then that could make up for it.
Carson Anderson, 97.1. Steve in Bloomfield. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Hey. There's a big elephant in the room that nobody's talking about. Next year is the last year of a collective bargaining. So literally, at the end of next year, if the owners say, we're going to get to a salary cap, they may literally want to say, we're keeping Skubal, we're not trading him. They're going to freeze the rosters at the end of the season and then see what happens. More than likely, you see a 2 or 3 week or a month long period of free agency when they restart, and that's when Skubal moves.
So we've actually talked about it quite a bit, Steve. We've mentioned it quite a bit because it's a very weird variable in the backdrop of this whole thing. We think Skubal wants to get traded now and Boris because he wants to sign the money cannon contract before the new rules kick in. Meanwhile, the Tigers could slow play this because if there's a cap of some kind, and I don't expect there to be a hard cap. I don't think the players will ever cave to that. And the things are so far out of whack, I'm not sure how they'd even implement it now with some teams like spending 10 times as much as, not 10, but it's
yeah, the basement's like $75 million and the ceiling's $350 million.
It'd be very difficult for them to implement, but it might benefit the Tigers and it might work against the Tigers, and it's a hard thing to know how to handle. So we have talked about it quite a bit. I feel as though it would be so on brand for baseball to come off a highly rated World Series that everybody's talking about how great it was and how entertaining it was, and then for them to follow that up by having some sort of work stoppage. That feels so on brand for what Major League Baseball's done historically, and I hope they know better, but you're absolutely right. What's going to happen under new rules, and how does it impact the way the Tigers should handle Skubal? Without knowing what the new rules are, it's impossible to know. And it's a huge variable. Huge variable.
Oh, it's a massive variable. But like you, I don't think that there's ever going to be a hard cap in baseball. There's just too much of a disparity between the haves and have-nots. I think they'll try to find a way to maybe penalize teams that get over a certain threshold with the luxury tax and maybe do something more with that. And I think that they could also – they got to have a basement. You got to have a floor. With it, maybe there's gonna be a cap floor,
higher floor, lower ceiling.
It starts at a
hard ceiling, higher floor,
$120 million or something.
I don't expect them to get it right.
No, I don't either.
So,
no faith.
We do have updates on some injured lines, including one I didn't expect to hear good news on, and we got good news on them. We'll get to that today at 11:50. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Feedback coming in to the Carson Anderson inbox here at 97.1. Unnamed texter, I would love Duran, but for the love of God, can we get a right-handed hitter in this organization? Can't have an outfield Carp, Duran, and Green. They all bat lefty. I mean, well, you can. Maybe you move someone. If you get Duran, you need to trade one of these, Green or Carpenter. All three in the same outfield is really, really redundant. I think the situation with Boris is different than previous pending free agents. Skubal has to be highly motivated to get his deal done now. Two major arm events, and he's a little older than typical superstars hitting free agency for the first time. Yeah, I think that's why he's going to get traded, and that's why the Tigers actually have a little bit of leverage here. He wants the contract, and he wants it now. And I would suspect that there'd be a willingness to trade a player to sign with his new team, which means the Tigers aren't trading a guy for only 1 year.
I just, when I think about the outfield for this team in the future, what it can be, I mean, we're not far away from seeing you know, the next guy in Max Clark being, whether he's a center fielder or wherever they put him in the outfield. Riley Green is, you know, he produces. He produces home runs. He's producing runs. I mean, the guy had over 100 RBI this year, hit, 36 home runs. Yes, he strikes out a ton. There's that there. That's there, too. Is Kerry Carpenter just a platoon player, or does he deserve more at-bats against lefties? And you can see he doesn't have to start every day in right field. He can DH as well. Mm-hmm. And then this is where the other players come into mix. Are they 4A players or are they players? Is Parker Meadows, is he a guy or not? Is Wenzel Perez a guy or not? You know, Vierling is still in the mix, you know, and doesn't cost you anything. Is he going to be part of this? So there's lots to look at, not to mention guys in the minors that are going to get a crack at some point. I think there will be a trade of somebody from the roster that we might go, wow, that just happened?
Yeah. Max Clark's another lefty outfield bat, by the way.
Yeah. But a guy who draws a lot of walks, and there's a lot to like with Max Clark, despite the fact that he's left-handed. Again, people going crazy about the right-handed bat. I guess I don't care as much. I want lefties, you expect them to hit the righties. Can lefties hit the lefties? That's the thing. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice to have more reliable and dependable bats off the bench, which is kind of how they've done it. You know, they have the right-handed bats, I guess, with guys like Ibanez. And, you know, Justin Henry Molloy's another one they got to take a look at. Is this a guy they want to keep on this team or not? And I think there's going to be some movement. I think there might be some trade that involves like a Colt Keith or a Spencer Torkelson or Kerry Carpenter or Riley Green. Maybe one of those four guys is not on this team next year. I wouldn't surprise me if that happens.
Me either. But there's obviously... Sorting out the Scooble things, big deal here. More feedback here to the Carson Anderson inbox. Is keeping Scooble really the best bet to win a World Series? What if we get a haul, position players and pitching? That may improve their chances.
Yeah, well, getting a haul, sure. Yeah.
Getting a haul. If you get the haul, take the haul.
Take the haul.
We're all pro haul.
Well, we like haul.
Yeah. Let's go haul. I sign Bichette and bring up McGonigal. I sign Chris Bassett and trade Scooble to Seattle for Caden Anderson, Michael Morales, and Logan Gilbert and Bizzardo.
Logan who?
Logan Gilbert.
Oh, okay. Make sure it wasn't another Logan.
I see the stuff. It'd be so weird. It'd be very, very weird.
I don't want him to get traded here.
I like
it would be awesome for you and the family to have your nephew traded here. I don't want it to happen because I don't want to have to talk about your nephew on a day in and day out basis.
I will say this. He's got a great situation in Seattle. I think Seattle, the organization's been great for him. I think he loves it there. I know he loves it there. But, you know, he's a promising young
man. I can't imagine anybody in Seattle's organization wants to leave Seattle at this point.
Probably not.
They probably think they got that thing rolling, ready to go. Don't want to rock the boat.
Okay. Let's see here. All right. So I mentioned the Lions stuff. News. There is news.
Got news?
Yeah. Because Dan Campbell just spoke with the media. Eric Woodyard, who covers the Detroit Lions for ESPN. Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell are both trending to play this week, according to Dan Campbell. That's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Dave Burkett, Dan Campbell said the Lions could get cornerback DJ Reed back in early December. Josh Pascal won't practice today, but had a good week. So that is good.
So Josh Pascal won't practice or won't play?
Won't practice today, but had a good week. It didn't say anything about playing. So the DJ Reed thing is the news that I wasn't necessarily expecting. DJ Reed is a really, really potential impact player to return. And I hope, out of everything that happened last Sunday, I hope the most significant positive thing is that Terrion Arnold's turned a corner. So we'll see if that's the case. But they could definitely use getting guys back. And, of course, we're not silly here. As soon as they get guys back, somebody else is going to get hurt because that's just the way it works. But, you know, getting DJ Reed back is something that I do not undervalue at all. One other thing for the NFL, the Antonio Brown story has gotten really, really weird, hasn't it?
It's been weird from day one.
Yep. Well, I don't think his career was weird from day one. I think he's gotten stranger and stranger. But he is now charged with attempted murder?
Yes. This is from an incident a while ago, right?
Yeah, he said it was self-defense. I guess they're not buying it. And he was accused of trying to shoot and kill an individual at a boxing event in mid-May. The incident was partially captured on video, according to TMZ. Antonio was seen grabbing a gun and running with the weapon. He was allowed to leave after speaking with police in June. An arrest warrant was issued for him, and he was caught in Dubai. So, I don't know, man. It's so strange. And it was a guy that had a lot going for him.
Oh, he's the best in the game.
Yep.
One of the best in the game.
Yep. Regarding the Lions, protect Goff. Everything else will fall into place, scoring and third down conversions. I mean, that's a pretty simple thing to say, and it's probably more true than not true.
Well, I agree. You can go that way, or I can just say run the ball. Be able to run it effectively, and that makes the passing game even better. He threw the ball just fine against the Vikings. The problem was he didn't have a whole lot of time to throw, and he got sacked 5 times, pressured probably another 10 times, and that was an issue. But if they're able to run the ball, teams got to be honest.
Here, this is from an unnamed texter. I don't want to see Gibbs in pass protection this week. It's painful to watch. That's on Johnny Moe. Well, go to line of scrimmage. You got a run play called the Jahmyr Gibbs. Goff gets the line of scrimmage, says kill, 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 checks into a pass. Now Gibbs is in pass protection. Like that, you can't only play David Montgomery.
Right.
And you can't tell Goff, don't change the play because Gibbs is in the backfield.
You're going to telegraph what you're doing if you have David Montgomery in there.
On all pass plays and Gibbs on all run plays?
Yeah. Do I think they can get more creative, use a tight end more as an H-back or something like that to provide more protection if they have to? Sure. But everything's going to be dictated by how things start off. Because you can have the plan, but then you have to make the adjustment. If it's not working, then we think we had a great week of practice and preparation. We think everybody's on the same page. We got our blocking schemes ready to go. Let's go. We don't need to bring in the tight end. We don't have to have Montgomery in there at all times. We got this. And then you find out after 2 series, uh-oh, that's not working.
We don't have this.
Right. Then you're going to have to shift.
Another text here. The rushing numbers are skewed. The Lions are not a top 10 rushing attack. I want to know, this warrants some further, what makes them skewed? Numbers can be skewed, don't get me wrong, but what makes them skewed?
Are they skewed because they had two really good games running the football?
So that might be the case, but that does count on your total. And they could be skewed because they haven't been good of late. I don't think they've looked like a top 10 rushing attack lately. Although there were some big runs. And I'll give you an example how rushing numbers get skewed. And Kelvin Shepard talked about this week. There was a swing pass to Aaron Jones that they later determined was a run. It went for 31 yards. So on the Lions rushing total, a swing pass for 31 yards became one carry for 31 yards that skewed the rushing total.
Right.
When it was really kind of pass.
I think our very own Burgie had the stat where if you take away, and you cannot do this, no. I understand this, but if you take away Jahmyr Gibbs' 78-yard run, he's averaging 3 point something per carry. It's just not good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe that's what the ticket text means, but
it could be.
The rush tag is not as good as it looks on, at least numbers-wise.
Well, I mean, nobody really carries the ball 4.5 yards per carry.
Exactly.
If you take away Barry Sanders' mm-hmm. long runs, how good was he? 248-539-9797. We will hear from the coordinators next hour, the best of what they told the media. Really interesting stuff from Kelvin Shepard. Also, Johnny Morton speaks. And Dave
4.2 a carry, by the way.
What?
It would be 4.2 a carry if you got rid of the 78-yard run. I just did the math.
Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs,
If you take away this 78-yard run.
Right.
Then his yards per carry goes from 4.9 to 4.2.
That's what you're doing. I'm sorry. I didn't quite. 248-539-9797. Anyway, hear what the coordinators had to say next hour. Also, we'll go out to Allen Park and talk to the Burchie kid. They have practice. He met with the media. Burchie's taking it all in. We'll have the very latest. So we get set for this game against Washington Sunday, 97-1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.